From Tech Conclave Virtual News Center, this is Tech Conclave
Audio Podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone to the second episode of the Tech Conclave Audio Podcast. It's Sunday the 9th of January 2011, and we've got a few guests here on the show today. We've got our mate in Melbourne, Australia, Brad, recording. We've got John, the host of the Tech Conclave Video Podcast. How are you going, John?
I'm good.
Good, and we've got Bo down there and Bright. How are you, bro?
Good, thanks.
Cool. All the way over in America, we've got Gerardo. How you going, Gerardo?
Doing good. Thanks.
Cool. So we've got a few audio discussions lined up for the listeners today. We've got a few articles about CES, some stuff coming up about WikiLeaks, and a few other little news articles along the way. Gerardo, did you want to kick it off with your first article?
Oh, sure. You know, one of the most interesting articles I found online is about WikiLeaks. You know, there's been a lot of talk about WikiLeaks that, you know, they're trying, the U.S. government's trying really hard to take them down. You know, and I find it really funny to see that, you know, the U.S. government's only trying to take them down because everything that WikiLeaks has on their website, it's very true. You know, it's like they're trying to protect their own self. WikiLeaks has been going through a lot, you know, as the CEO of WikiLeaks also has been taking down a lot. But one of the quotes that I read online that kind of, you know, show you how, I guess, how strong and corrupt the U.S. government may be is that, you know, there's a quote right here that I'm going to read it to you guys. It says, investigating documents in the WikiLeaks probe spilled out in the public domain Saturday for the first time, pointing to Obama's administration, determination to assemble a criminal case, no matter how long it takes and how far afield authorities have to go, which shows that, you know, they're basically willing to do anything to take down WikiLeaks. So, yeah, basically that's my article for that. So,
yeah, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, Gerardo, like, do you think it's good that WikiLeaks exists or bad? Or
I see WikiLeaks as a way to, you know, to uncover our government, because, you know, not every government is 100% squeaky clean. You know, they're going to have their secrets, but, you know, stuff that I've seen on WikiLeaks, you know, I kind of makes me double think about how our government works, you know, and that's one of the things that concerns me. You know, since I live in America, you know, I'm worried about what our government is doing for us and all that, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, WikiLeaks has been around for a long time. Only recently it started to release I guess really big news that's upsetting governments, and now all of a sudden the media and international governments are trying to take it down just out of nowhere. I guess I thought it wasn't a big deal, and now all of a sudden it's a massive deal because it's coming down to like freedom of speech, and I definitely think it's good it exists, because otherwise, you know, we'd never find out about all of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, very true.
I don't know. I'm pretty impressed that it's still around as well, because I thought that, you know, once the media got hold of it, they'd just be able to squash it. But it's still alive, and luckily there's a whole bunch of like kind of similar WikiLeaks websites getting set up around the world as well, more specifically for like certain countries. So yeah, the whole idea is, I guess, this freedom of speech. I'm glad it exists. I'm not that closely following all the articles that are coming out in the news, but it's definitely, I think, something that we need in the world at the moment, with all this like drama and war and, yeah, just everything. It's good to have kind of a look behind the scenes. Yeah.
And what makes it really funny is that the U.S. government tried so hard to take down the WikiLeaks domain, and have you seen that no matter how hard they tried, the WikiLeaks is still up? And on top of that, they got like mirrors of their website around, like hundreds of them. So no matter if they take one down, there's always going to be hundreds of mirrors available, and that's a smart thing about what the founder of WikiLeaks is doing. So I guess there's always going to be a freedom of speech, but, you know, it's being fought over when it comes to the internet, you know, because in freedom of speech, I guess lawmakers are only talking about it applies to, I guess, our physical self, but you know, when you say something on the internet, it can mean so much more, you know.
Yeah. Did you know about that, Bo? Have you been following it much in the news?
I have. Now and then I'll be just checking out what's going on. And with the goings on, how he was being accused of something in another country to, you know, bring him into custody. I'm assuming that's what it was all over. I'm not fully understanding. But it's all very interesting and still continuing now. I mean, was it all, you know, still happening and still, he is actually still in jail, isn't he?
I think he got out on bail, but he's being kept in, like, I'd call it like a safe house or whatever, so he's not allowed to leave the house, he's not allowed to go on the internet. But I could be totally wrong. I haven't kept up on the news articles that much, because there's that much WikiLeaks stuff, like, every day. You kind of become desensitized to it. No, I'm usually just reading the news these days for tech articles as well, but obviously this is a website and it's important. Did you know that they can mirror it and stuff, Bo? Have you heard about that? Like, you can go to WikiLeaks and you can, if you have your own website, you can give them your details and they'll upload a copy of WikiLeaks to your own, like, server. So if WikiLeaks gets taken down, there's all these different mirrors all around the world, which is what Gerardo was talking about.
Yep, found those. There was like a CN domain as well, and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Oh no, like WikiLeaks.org has been actually taken down since, I think, the registrar. I'm not sure if it was based on, was US based or I think it was. They got taken down, WikiLeaks.org. But if you search your WikiLeaks on Google now, they're accessible only by IP address, and then we got tons of people supporting them. And just like Michael just mentioned right now, you can actually upload, I guess, something on your server to support them. So in case one of the mirrors gets taken down, there's always like 20 more that pop up.
Yeah, it's really cool. You got any thoughts to add on that, John?
With the WikiLeaks, I understand, I appreciate its intention to bring out the truth, you know, of the governments, because we can see that this is really, is likely the truth, because every government that is involved with the leak is, you know, upset with the with the material that they released. But I also see the other side, that you know with the information that WikiLeaks released, I think somehow it needs to be redacted, especially when there's like life and death situation that may be involved, because you know when they release the information to the public, it could be accessed by anyone, including the enemies of the government, those terrorist organizations that could easily, you know, take advantage of the information. Because, like, you know, when WikiLeaks release the information, it is really in raw form. And I would suggest, like, WikiLeaks, when they release the, I think WikiLeaks is doing it anyway. When before the WikiLeaks release the content in public to their website, they need to send out this material to all major newspapers or, you know, news organizations, which usually have the good knowledge on how to you know, tell the truth without risking anyone's life. So
WikiLeaks did notify a lot of the major press companies. I think it was 200 initial cables or whatever, and they didn't really publish them or get that deep into them.
So yeah, it's
really given, I guess, the reader a bit more knowledge by going to the site. So I'm glad it's around, but yeah.
Yeah, because I think recently the US government had to move some contacts they have in other countries, like, you know, some people, because they might be like likely get targeted by the enemies of the state, like the terrorists, you know, like, yeah, apparently that would be the case, because there were like many names and, you know, shown on the in the content, and yeah, it could be taken, you know, we never know how the enemy or how the terrorist people, those people who are extremes, how they could use the information to go against or to disrupt the public. The thing here is that it's not always the case, like, you know, that what the information is telling us, it's not always the case that we read, you know, from these actual cables, because there were like many human rights violations that were exposed that we don't know until these very cables were released. So it's good to know that, you know, it's not always the case, like, the government's telling us that, you know, the war is going, you know, is in having a good progress, but in fact there are many civilians affected, and it's not on the news. We're not being told about that. So yeah, it's good. It is what I like with the WikiLeaks. It shows the real picture of this situation that the government tries to sugarcoat to make itself look nice to the public, but that is like lie.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we've probably covered that enough. Like, we're definitely interested on this show about political news related to technology, but we're also related to technology as well. So, did you have any tech articles you wanted to discuss this week, Bo? Anything you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, there was a something that's been, well, I believe it's at the CES. Someone correct me if that's wrong, if I said
that's right. The Consumer Electronics Show, I think it is.
2011. Yep. Apparently, Apple's featuring some Apple AirPlay devices. So, using DLNA technology for streaming, you know, a iPad to your future alarm clock, which is going to have DLNA technology based on, what's going to make it interactive with your iPad, and you'll be able to send it audio and all this sort of crazy stuff. Especially with the DLNA TVs, you'll be able to stream your movies or your iPad screen to your TV instead of using a cable. But according to Jordan Watts, AirPlay devices could ultimately dwarf made for iPod audio clocks by 2 to 4 times. Part of the reason for Jordan's optimism is the fact that so many iOS devices have already been sold. So in saying that, the fact that there's already a huge amount of old school clocks with the interface that you can mount your iPad or your iPod. Well, you won't be putting your iPod, iPad on there, sorry, but your Apple iPhone or iPod.
Yeah.
And Audacity crashed.
What do you reckon about that? Like, would you use that in the future to talk to all your devices? I reckon it's going to be pretty cool the next couple of years in your house. If you're watching something on your iPad, I've seen the videos, like, you can be watching something on an iPad, and then if you've got a TV that supports this new, I think it's an open standard, the DLNA, you can just push the video straight to your TV and keep watching it, kind of thing.
Which is great, because who wants to hook something up when you can just be sitting on your couch, hit a button on your remote and hit something on your phone or your iPad, or, you know, and just hit and boom, you've got it on your screen in full quality watchable content.
That's why I love technology. Like, I'm all about being lazy and doing it easy. Like, I've got some Firefox gestures, you know, to shut all my tabs without pressing buttons on my keyboard, and I just think little things like that make life so much easier and less hectic. Like, just, you don't need the stress when you put on a DVD. Now there's the new Xbox Kinect, apparently, that you can just move your hands around and say play movie. Just, it's getting all really futuristic, and
it is.
I'm really looking forward to the next few years, you know.
Yeah, it's actually turning into a 1991 movie.
Yeah, it's going to be like all sci-fi in your own home.
Exactly. Which is exciting.
It is. I reckon it's cool. Like, both for geeks, but also for, like, old people and people that aren't even into technology. Just this stuff is coming out, and it's so easy to use that you won't have to be smart to use it, you know? You won't have to read a manual for 3 hours to work it out. Just press a button and it works.
Which is good, because it might make things a tiny bit easier, but from talking from experience, my dad doesn't seem to understand it. He actually bought an iPad.
Yeah.
It's funny. But he's actually not too bad on that. If you try and put it on a computer, he won't get far, but an iPad, he'll go many places.
Yeah. What do you think about over in the Philippines there, John? Do you think this DLNA technology is something viable? Like, you'd see it eventually over there, or can you see any uses for it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool, man. All right. Well, I guess we'll move on to the next article. Unfortunately, we'll stick for this episode a bit more on Mac, because there's a lot of Mac stuff coming out. The Mac App Store's been opened, which is basically like an app store on your mobile phone or your iPhone, except now you can purchase Macintosh applications. Mac Store applications have already been hacked and pirated, apparently, and modified, which I thought was very interesting. I just wanted to quickly go over it, because I thought, you know, they've already sold, you know, thousands of apps, apparently. They're almost hitting their first millionth app sold via the Mac App Store, but already there's pirates and people always reverse engineering new stuff that comes out, which I think is pretty interesting and it's kind of fun. But basically how it worked is you download a free app off the App Store, and then you could get like a signature, basically like a HTML kind of file. You'd find some source code that said this is a free application, and you'd paste it into a paid application, over the top of the this is a paid application over basically saying this is a free application, and then the paid app would become open and you could use it. So yeah, it was I think someone at Apple's going to be paying very dearly for this little bit of a stuff up, so I thought I'd bring it to your attention and just get your thoughts on that. I mean, what do you think? Is Apple okay? Are they bad? Can they do no wrong? What do you reckon, Gerardo? I haven't heard your thoughts on Apple before.
Well, as John knows, I'm not a... I shouldn't say now that I don't own any Apple products except for an iPhone. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Apple products. But I got to say that even though, you know, I do use their iTunes, and I've just barely heard about this Mac App Store. You know, everything is not 100% proof, and I'm actually not surprised that, you know, that they were able to hack it, because, you know, Apple, the operating system itself is Unix-based, you know, and basically, you know, I'm a big fan of Unix, and plus, I'm pretty sure their servers run on it, too, so I'm, like I said, I'm not really surprised that hackers are actually taking over some exploit, you know, on this App Store. Also, read that they might be releasing their the code on how they did it and their exploit to on the internet, so it should be a fun job for Mac trying to protect themselves against that. So
yeah, there'll be a new verification check that they'll put in their apps or whatever, but I did see it was basically someone had pasted the code of how to do it to a website, and you could just easily copy and paste to see if it actually worked. They used an example of downloading Twitter, which was a free app, and then downloading the Angry Birds on the Mac and just pasting a code over the top. I haven't tried it because I don't have a Mac, but yeah, I thought it was very interesting just how workarounds for hacking stuff exist. Yeah, but anyway, it's out there. I think it's probably a step in the right direction for Mac people, because it's not forcing people to use the Mac App Store, but if you want, you can kind of use this Steam-like approach to downloading apps on the Mac. I don't think we'll see any version for a PC or the Linux world come around soon. I guess with Linux, you've got your repositories and stuff where you can get all your updates and your apps. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. It's come out and it's already been hacked, so I thought I'd bring it up with you guys. Has anyone else got any thoughts on that before we move on? Or?
Just that, yeah. I mean, that's good, because it's to some degree, you know, some apps can be very expensive, and you know, this gives people who have the mind and the ability to do that to go and try the application before buying it. I do believe in trying before buying. No one should have to buy something and then find out in the end not how they expected.
Yeah. Like, you've got an Android phone, don't you, Bo?
I do.
Yeah. I heard somewhere, is it true you can download an app and try it before you actually purchase it? Or?
No.
No?
No, it depends. They have got applications where if you do, there are not all applications are like this. I guess it depends on the developer, but they can make so you can run the application. If you like it, it'll unlock, you know, get the advertisements and all that. And
okay.
It just, you know, just unlocks it inside the program.
Okay. What about with your phone, John? You've got a Samsung Wave, which is pretty awesome. I was able to see it when I visited you over there, and it's running, I think it's the Butter OS. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you find the App Store on there? Like, does it have trial software? And
Well, yeah, they have, like, light versions. You know, they have free software as well. And their App Store works pretty well. It's being with the App Store itself, you know, that's a particular program. Yeah, it works well so far. I've never you know, heard anything like you know, it's being broken, like their security. Otherwise, I would be the first one who would try to download like cracked apps. But okay. Unfortunately, so far I tried to search the net. I haven't found anything like that yet.
Yeah.
And there's so many nice apps that I'd like to try, and it's very difficult for me to purchase the apps because it requires everyone apparently to have the credit card before downloading those paid apps. So I just rely on the apps. So yeah,
I think that's the app stores in general are still getting their footing, because I mean the Mac App Store really kicked everything off this week in the PC world. But before then there was the iPhone and the what's it called? Just the App Store. Yeah, the App Store it started out, I think, really bad. Like, apps were expensive, there were no trial versions, and now slowly people are demanding new features. I finally found the article I was thinking about here. Basically, Microsoft launched the Windows Phone 7. Good or bad, I think it's still good to have competition in the market instead of just having Apple versus BlackBerry versus whoever. It's good to have Windows involved as well. And I just wanted to see what you guys thought about their App Store. They've actually introduced a try before you buy function. So you can download any app for free and you get to try it for a week before it asks you to pay or you have to uninstall it. What did you think about that?
That sounds all right, actually. If you can actually try what you buy, like, I mean, a description and some photos doesn't help you make your mind up. If you get to actually have a play with it, see how it functions, how it works, what it does, what it doesn't do, I think, you know, people have a much better idea if this is worth the money that they're asking for.
Yeah, I reckon this is going to be, in the future, the way all app stores run, that you'll get a go. You'll get to either use it for a day or 3 days or 5 days, and then it'll lock itself out and give you the option to buy it. I mean, for me, that makes a lot of sense. You don't want to just spend $10 on some random... Basically, you're looking at an app with an icon on the screen and you're thinking, oh, I hope this does what I want it to do. And you pay your money and you hope you get something good. Now, I think the new Windows Phone 7 App Store is getting the right idea, and hopefully Apple and Android and all the other marketplaces like Bata copy it, because I think it's a very good idea to give users the choice to try the games or the apps or whatever, and then purchase them later. Because you can walk into a store and you can try a laptop and a phone and give it a fair go, but you never know what an app's going to be like unless you hear either from word of mouth or you try it yourself, if it's going to be good. I think that'll be the way we go in the future, hopefully, with app stores.
I also think it'll be the best way too, because no one wants to regret, you know, wasting money on something they're not going to use. You know, everyone wants to get their bang for their buck. So
yeah, exactly. That was exactly what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's you know, the consumers, you know, their money is worth every single dollar is worth, you know, to the company, especially developers, you know, that create these apps. You know, sometimes they might create buggy apps, you know, and then you purchase an app which doesn't even work, and then, you know, I don't know if there's some way you can refund your money, but I haven't seen that option on the App Store or something like that.
Yeah, you guys heard of that. What do you think about that, John? Would you use a feature like that if it was in the Bata OS? Like, you got a trial for a full version, and would you take advantage of that?
Yeah, well, honestly, I have tried the light versions or the trial versions of the software, but I don't know, for some reason I'm not very appealed to install them. Because I'll just get frustrated with the limited functionality that the app offers with the trial version. But for some people, I understand that it's not all the same. You know, the reception is not the same. Because to some people, it's good because they can try the app for buying the full version. So, yeah. But to me, I don't know. For some reason, when I see the name trial and, you know, in the app, I don't tend to install it. I don't get the interest to install it.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. But I think what I was trying to say, John, is like, if they gave you the option of downloading the full version and you could trial it for a whole week, like, even if I didn't want to pay for it, it'd still be a cool feature for me because I could download all these apps for free and try them for a week and then I wouldn't have to pay.
Well, if the app is like, you know,
it's not limited,
offers the full function. Yeah, if it doesn't... If it's not limited, then that's good.
Yeah, it is good. I really like that idea.
That'd be a good and a bad thing. A good sense for the consumers, but it'll be also an advantage for the hackers, you know, for them to get their hands on the full app, and then they'll be able to crack it. There you go.
That's a good point. Anyway, well, I guess we'll wait and see what happens in the future. I think we're pretty much done here, but before we go, we've got our mate Brad on the line as well, who's recording. If you're still awake with us here, Brad, we've been going on for a little while. Did you want to have a chat, mate? Let us know what you think about CES.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, Brad.
How you going, mate?
For the people that haven't heard from you before, you launched a couple of audio podcasts last year, and you just started a new one as well. Just tell us about your podcast, mate.
Well, the first one I've been involved with Bob from the UK, called Tech Luster. He's making it into like a network sort of thing where people can come on and post some news articles and jump on the audio podcast, and also he does some review stuff and that sort of good stuff. And also Tech Webcast is an audio podcast to do with technology news, interviews and websites and that sort of good stuff.
Cool, mate. And you've been doing a bit of reading and research about the new CES this year?
I've actually been watching a little bit this morning. That's about it. I've just been watching the live stream and stuff on the internet.
What's going on today?
Looks quite good. They were just showing some good new TVs from Panasonic and Samsung and them sort of brands, and they look quite good. 3D TV as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. There's some really cool technology coming out with TVs. Like, I think I saw a Sony one at CES. It basically just looked like a really thin piece of black glass, and it was a TV. Like, it was so thin. Mm. I can't believe how, like, crazy technology is. Like, I'm looking over at my TV in the corner here, and it's just this big block and really needs to be turned into an LCD or a plasma.
I think it's
time
for you for a new TV, Mark, I think.
Yeah, mate, I'm rocking an old CRT, and it's probably the oldest thing in this whole house.
Yeah, for sure.
But, there's some really cool tech coming out with, like, TVs.
There is, for sure. What are your thoughts on the iPad 2, just before we go? Have you seen any release on that?
Oh, are we talking about the next one?
Yep, iPad 2.
I don't know what's happening. I've got a theory that once BlackBerry are about to release their version of an iPad, which is called the Playbook, I think Apple will be smart enough to come along and release their iPad in the same week or something, and probably steal its thunder.
Yep.
If I was Apple, I'd be doing that differently, because I saw the videos about the Playbook and it looks pretty damn awesome. And I think Apple would be very smart to release it in February as opposed to keeping a whole year as they usually do with iPhones. I don't think they'll get the market if they wait the whole year to drop their new iPad. So hopefully it comes out early this quarter. Yeah.
For sure.
What about yourself, Brad? What do you reckon?
Well, apparently there's rumours of a front camera and a back one, and there's a speaker grill on the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
And same sort of design as the iPhone 4 display, retina display on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be quite good, but I don't know. I'll see what happens when it comes out. I may get one, but if it's worth it, I will, but see what happens.
What do you reckon about iPhones and Android and stuff like that, Gerardo? Have you been following up with the new releases of the Android OS that's coming out? There's like a new version 3.
Actually, no, I haven't. I mean, I haven't really used the Android OS yet. So.
Okay, so you're just on your iPhone or something at the moment? Is that what you've got?
Right now. Yeah, okay. I'm only limited to my iPhone right now. So.
You have an iPhone 4, Gerard?
No, I have the old iPhone 3, 3G, and not even the 3GS, you know. I've been meaning to get, but it looks like I'm upgrading to an Android, the
HTC?
Yeah, there you go. That's what I plan on getting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah, now there's some good tech coming out with all the OSs. Android's pushing out this CES Android, I think it's called Honeycomb. It's their new Android operating system, 3.0, and it's really tablet-orientated, so jump on YouTube and Google Android 3. It looks really, really cool. It's all kind of slidey and well animated and kind of designed for tablet computers and stuff, but it's also going to be on phones pretty soon. And I think besides that, was there any other stuff that you wanted to plug about yourself, Gerardo, before we move on to Bo?
No, that's basically it. You know, so far, I guess you guys basically
covered
everything.
Okay, cool. Are there any Twitter or things you wanted to bring up before we head off? Like, they can follow you or?
If you'd like to follow me, you can do so if you have Twitter. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, Aussie Tech Boy is my name on Twitter. And if you want to add me to Facebook, please feel free. It's bo.sinclair. Don't expect to see anything on my Facebook unless you're my friend, though.
Uh-huh, gotcha. All right, if anyone interested listening wants to follow me, I'm on Twitter, I'm The Roundup. Besides that, how about yourself, Gerardo? Anyone want to follow you on social networks? You want to spruik to anyone?
To tell the truth, as big of a geek I am, I barely just started using Twitter. You know, I'm not a big Twitter fan, but I mean, if you guys want to follow me, you know, you follow me at Gerardo JV, you know, so... basically you can follow me anytime. Don't expect to see any Twitters, any tweets at all, because I barely just started using it. So,
you're new to the game. All right, no worries. How about yourself, Brad?
They can follow me on Twitter at TechWebcast and Brad Oz, and also TechWebcast.info for the podcast.
All right, well, thanks everyone for joining up today. It was kind of spur of the moment. I'm glad we managed to pull it off and for so long. Thanks for all the listeners listening, and if you're hearing this for the first time and you don't know who we are or whatever, you can check us all out at www.techconclave.com. All right, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
From Tech Conclave Virtual News Center, this is Tech Conclave
Audio Podcast.